she wouldn't have been invited amongst this august company. The Duke of Roxton was an incorruptible prude and a devoted family man, a rare bird amongst his preening peers. The king couldn't praise the duke's example highly enough. It was a compliment so much sniggered about in society drawing rooms that even Jonathan, just 6 months in the capital, had heard it repeated often enough. Whatever the reason for her social ostracism, it was of supreme indifference to him. He was determined to make her acquaintance. Curiosity and allure compelled him. A burst of wild laughter close by brought him out of his reverie. Tommy would know the beauty's identity and her story. He always had the latest gossip. Collecting social minutiae that families desperately tried to suppress was Tommy Cavendish's favorite pastime, second only to eating. And so, with no regard for the two turbaned dowagers who were filling Lord Cavendish's insatiable appetite for scandal with the latest wicked crumbs, Jonathan caught at the stiff skirts of the nobleman's frock coat and unceremoniously pulled him backwards to stand at his side. "Tommy, Tommy, attend me," he demanded, without taking his gaze from the beauty. "She's in widow's drapery and she's being ignored. Why? What is she doing here?"
"Good Lord, don't tell me one of the fairer sex has finally piqued your interest? Bravo! Who, old dear?" asked his lordship.
Tommy Cavendish waved his lace handkerchief to the departing dowagers, who flounced off in disgust at being so rudely interrupted by a tanned colossus of undetermined social consequence. Then he hurriedly plastered his quizzing glass to a watery eye and swept an eager, roving stare out across the ballroom, where the first minuet of the evening was underway, before running his eye down to Jonathan's large feet, then up to his head of thick, shoulder-length hair.
"Are you truly 6 feet 4 inches?
Jonathan pulled the quizzing glass out of Lord Cavendish's chubby fingers and let it drop loose on its riband.
"Have done with that silly affectation, Tommy. And that hideous black patch, if that's what it is also beyond enough. A wart at best."
"Brute,"
Lord Cavendish responded without offense as he touched the corner of his mouth with a fat pinky to reassure himself the heart-shaped moosh remained in place.
"Those of us who can't be Samsons must attract Delilahs in other ways."
"Paint and patch doesn't do it for you, Tommy. Trust me. What would Kitty say?"
Lord Cavendish shrugged and patted his portly belly, very snug in its tight-fitting chinoiserie silk waistcoat.
"My wife told me to wear a half moon rather than a heart, and at the temple, not at the mouth. But what would dearest Kitty know about patches and paint? And I'm not the one who needs a wife."
"Tommy, don't start."
Lord Cavendish pretended ignorance and swept a silken arm out towards the crowd gathered on the edge of the dance floor.
"Start? My dear friend, the bridal campaign started in earnest months back, if you hadn't noticed, and where better to find a nice little wife than at this esteemed gathering? Pick of the grapes, this bunch. No one with a relative below the rank of Viscount, and it's not as if you have to marry money. There's a few dainty dishes with a pedigree as long as your arm and no funds to match. Kitty thinks..."
"No, Tommy, no."
"That there are at least 5 delicious puddings for you to choose from, all in their early 20s and in their second season, although I wouldn't discount the Port of Lewisham pikelet, even if she is 18.
18?
Jonathan was revolted. His daughter was just 19 years old. He turned his portly friend's shoulder towards the dance floor.
"Attend, Tommy. The beauty over there, who is she?"
Lord Cavendish fumbled for his quizzing glass.
"Where is this vision of loveliness, this delectable eclair that has whetted your manly appetite?"
"Not over there, over here," Jonathan said impatiently. "To my left, the tapestry. She's staring straight at me."
Lord Cavendish made another sweep of the ballroom with his magnified eye, careful not to linger on any particular pretty face for more than a few seconds. But if there were an eligible beauty amongst the press of silk petticoats and fluttering fans, he could not discover her. Pretty, yes, but no female so striking as to cause his tall friend to get steamed up under his cravat.
Unless... no.
His smile remained fixed, but his brow furrowed. He glanced up at Jonathan and followed his unblinking gaze.
"Oh, God, no."
He mentally gulped and let drop the quizzing glass, mouth at half cock, and mumbled something unintelligible. It was a few moments before he found his voice, long enough for Jonathan to witness 2 dour-faced creatures, both dressed in dove-grey silk and with all the charisma of strong-armed jailers, approach the beauty from behind to stand 2 paces back on either side of her. They reminded him of a couple of gargoyles. The almost imperceptible way in which the beauty squared her snow